I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly O? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Trash Tuesday, so take out the trash. What's bugging you? Tweet at me, DA on CBS. We'll do Our Trash is coming up in 20. Also, you can dial me up at 855-212-4CBS. In 20, Trash Tuesday. In 30, Stunned to a News. In 40, Tyreek Hill explains why he's a Dolphin, not a Jet. Do we believe him?
Oh, okay.
Coming up this morning here on the show. Before I get to your phone calls here, I want to talk about the Carolina Panthers. Carolina, with a grotesque effort on Sunday against the Cardinals, sleepwalked through the second half, unable to get Christian McCaffrey going on the ground, or either unable or unwilling. A sparse crowd of the upper deck, despite it being Sam Mills tribute day. And people are wondering, how long is Matt Rhule going to be head coach of the Panthers? Because apparently he'll have college jobs knocking at his door now that all of these Power 5 jobs are opening up and it's not even mid-October yet. Let me tell you this. Matt Rhule ain't ever going to be a good NFL coach. It's not happening. He is built a lot like Nick Saban, who is built a lot like the successful college coaches that don't make the transition to the NFL game well. They think they've got all of the answers. They like to push you around, to bully you, to demean the critics, because they know how, and this is a skill set, to motivate kids. And that's a different skill set than organizing adults. It is. Let's face it, being a college professor is not like being a kindergarten teacher. Being a college professor is not like being a ninth grade teacher. It's a different skill set. I'm not saying one's better or worse. I'm saying very few guys can do both. Steve Spurrier couldn't do both. Nick Saban couldn't do both. Bobby Petrino couldn't do both. And now we're seeing Matt Rhule can't do both. Because the Panthers aren't getting better, and this is year three of Matt Rhule. So Matt Rhule was asked a series of questions after the game on Sunday, and questions yesterday as well, about job security, about college jobs. And I give Rhule this. Rhule is not taking the bait. He's saying the right things. I'm the Panthers coach. It would be disrespectful to not be all in here. I'm not worried about that, yada, yada, yada. And I don't believe him, but he's saying the right thing. If you're 1-3 and the guillotine's hanging over your head and you've got Wisconsin knocking at the door, or you've got one of these other, Nebraska knocking at your door, you're listening. And they're maybe not calling you directly because whatever, but they're calling your agent. There's always search firms. There's a reason that Nebraska fired Scott Frost when they did, Arizona State, Herm Edwards, when they did, Paul Christ, when they did. And it's because you get a jump on your search firm giving you a series of names. They reach out to agents and representatives and start kind of culling together the list that then the ADs will interview. And they're paid lots of money for this. Athletic departments pay a lot of money for this service. That's why this happens. So don't tell me that they don't have some lines of communication out to the reps of Matt Rhule already, because Rhule did very well at Temple, did very well at Baylor, and everybody sees the writing on the wall. He stinks as an NFL head coach. And probably most, if not all, of the Patriots assistant coaches should just go to college because they all have the same demeanor. They know they're the smartest guy in the room. They'll demean you, be condescending, push you around. They've got all the answers. Where NFL coaches have by and large realized you don't have all the answers because you need everybody in the orchestra. You don't just get to be a one-man band, not at the pro level. In the college level, you get to be more of a king of the kingdom. We just played the audio last hour of Nick Saban belittling the media for asking him about a package that they might put in with a backup quarterback, and he could just stand up there and scold them. That ain't ever going to work if you're dealing with professional media corps. You know, when you work at a college town, you've got one local paper, and they need access to you. You got a couple of TV stations. They need to be on the right side of you so that they get their press credentials and their sideline access. And, you know, you can bully your way through life. You can condescend and scold, etc., because who's going to call you out? In the pros, does it work that way? Because you have professional media markets that are just not, they don't need you. They'll outlast you, is what happens there. So anyway, Matt Rhule is now under massive fire, and so is Baker Mayfield. And now we're getting the question of, well, is Sam Darnold healthy yet? Can Darnold play? High ankle sprain? You know it's bad when people are knocking at the door for, when is Sam Darnold ready? Okay? That's when you know you've hit critical mass. Hey, can we get Darnold in here? And Baker Mayfield's feeling the heat. Mraz had a great quote yesterday. When did Baker Mayfield get shorter? Because for some reason this year, every pass he throws gets knocked down. He leads the league with 11 passes deflected at the line of scrimmage. And Baker's explanation was, well, our offensive line's doing such a good job that if the pass rush can't get to me, they're just planting their feet and putting their arms up. Yeah, right. I'm wondering why you suck so bad. He's the lowest rated starting quarterback in the NFL. The offense is atrocious. They have one of the best all-around backs in football in Christian McCaffrey. They've got weapons, seemingly. And yet, Baker Mayfield is the lowest rated quarterback in the NFL. Another three turnovers on Sunday. Two INTs and a fumble. He is an absolute abject disaster. And the reality of Baker Mayfield, and I've said this before, and I apologize because I'm sure plenty of you are like, oh, here goes DA and his Baker Mayfield thing. But the bit is, I've seen this before, and it never ends well. The guy that wants to act like the star quarterback, but is not good enough to be the star quarterback. There are Browns fans, defiant in the face of reality. Baker led us to the playoffs. Baker Mayfield saved the franchise. Baker got a raw deal. And did the Browns maybe make it a little uglier than it had to be? Maybe embarrass him a little bit on his way out? Maybe. But I think that has to do with really sore feelings, and this is a business as well. It's not supposed to be lovey-dovey. It is a business. It is cold and cutthroat, and you make millions of dollars, and you get whisked around, and you get to be a celebrity, and you have the best training and the best facilities and free meals and charter flights and the best accommodations, and you make tens of millions of dollars, and you get to do endorsements, and you live a really good life. And then the flip side of that coin is it's a business. You profit, they profit. And Baker Mayfield likes to talk about being a star quarterback and likes to act as though he was wronged in Cleveland, and how dare they? But the fact of the matter is, and I can't stress this enough, he's not good enough for the attitude that he has. College is fine, but there's a lot of good college quarterbacks that didn't make it to the NFL. Just because you're drafted number one overall doesn't mean that you're a great quarterback. And just because you had one good season that went to the postseason, but you were supported by really good defense, a really strong run game, just because that happened once doesn't mean that's your birthright. And the other day, Baker was asked about the boos from the crowd. And he says, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I'm not listening to that. But was clearly perturbed about it. And then he was followed up. Really? The booing? You don't even hear it? And he said, we went right down the field and scored that next drive. So what does that tell you? In other words, we shoved it right up their ass. Haters, right? And this has always been the Baker thing. Haters. I'll show them. Well, the attitude is tiresome if you're not going to deliver. The whole chip on the shoulder thing is exhausting if you're not good enough. And, you know, people are so attracted to attitude these days. The soundbite, the perception. And so there is something desirable about Baker Mayfield. He's got that 5 o'clock shadow and that kind of snarl, sometimes smirk. And he's got the chip on his shoulder, and he goes out there like a football player, like a leader, and that's what people believe in. And the evidence is he's not good enough. The entire offseason passed, and nobody was interested in Baker Mayfield. And then the Panthers signed him, and every time that I said anything that was negative about Baker, I got the Baker bros that came out. Yo, he's going to show you, D.A. He's got a job. What are you going to say now, D.A.? He's a starter in the NFL, D.A. You said it would never happen. And I'm just like, okay, who do you think is on the right side of this call here? Do you think at the end of the year, Baker Mayfield has led the Panthers to the playoffs? Or do you think by the end of the year, Baker Mayfield is again out of a starting quarterback job? We see where this thing is going. Now, you want to argue that he's not getting much help from Matt Rhule? And that's fine. But you can't sit here and tell me that he's a viable starting quarterback in the NFL unless everything around him is perfect. The walls are closing in Carolina. Matt Rhule's going to get fired. They're going to turn to Sam Darnold as the solution. And it's going to be another wasted year because they don't have the right coach. And they don't have the right quarterback. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. We're on Twitter, DA on CBS. Rich is in Chicago this morning. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, DA, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Doing great. I got a couple of things for you.
Yes, sir.
One, I told your producer, I'm going to give you a quick story that is hilarious.
Okay.
Then I'm going to talk about the teams I think are in trouble.
All right. Well, let's see if the story's good. Then we'll see if you get a chapter two. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll let you judge that, right? I want to tell you a little bit about Steve Ballmer. I worked with him at Procter & Gamble when he came out of college. And I can tell you what a psycho he is about sports and how he got involved. And it's kind of an interesting story because this guy did not play sports. He was kind of born on third base guy. His parents were Ford Motor Company executive. His dad was. He grew up in the high-end neighborhood in Detroit, went to Harvard as an undergrad. And this is before he came to P&G, but I know a lot about his background because I know him personally. So anyway, let me tell you what he does at Harvard. He is the manager of the Harvard football team.
Okay.
When he's in school.
Yeah.
And his roommate, well, not roommate, but his buddy down the hall where he lived was Bill Gates, who actually dropped out of Harvard.
Right. Okay.
So the connection is Harvard with Bill Gates and football as manager of the Harvard football team. And he came to Procter & Gamble as a brand manager.
What is the story, though? I don't want the Wikipedia on Steve Ballmer. What was the story you wanted to tell me?
Well, the reason he got involved in buying a professional franchise, he ended up getting recruited by his buddy Gates to go to Microsoft, and he worked his way up. He didn't go there as a CEO. He had about three or four different marketing jobs and got involved in knowing that Paul Allen was buying franchises. He got rich, as they all did, as you pointed out, at Microsoft. And when he was there, decided on buying a sports franchise, and the Clippers were the only one available. And when you have $85 billion, he overspent. He spent $3 billion to buy the team. The point being is he's really kind of a groupie for sports, and he kind of grew up on it. And the minute he could get cashed out at Microsoft, he checked out.
I don't doubt that Steve Ballmer is a legitimate sports fan. I mean, he's intense. You know, you see him firing up the crowd, loves the Clippers, was all in on Bynum when the Donald Sterling thing hit. So, yeah, I don't doubt that he's a big-time sports fan. Don't know if that was really a story, though.
It's a pretty easy rule of thumb. Anytime you start off a story by saying, this is a pretty interesting story, it's rarely interesting.
What a preamble. Yeah.
Kyle's in Oregon this morning here on the DA Show. Good morning, Kyle.
How's it going, DA?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Just driving around my kid. He won't sleep. So I'm like, I'm going for a drive and listen to the sports radio.
Right on. Nice.
I totally agree with you on Baker Mayfield. I, from the West Coast, a lot of people are, you know, I'm friends with her. All, he's great. He's great. I'm like, well, I'm glad the Browns took him because he would have got Josh Allen, a big Bills fan. So I totally agree with the Baker Mayfield. He was okay in college. Yeah, he won some games, but I just never saw it. He's got the attitude. He's like a, not to be rude, but a sober Johnny Manziel. That's how I look at him. So,
Not a bad comp. I mean, look, obviously he's far more successful than Johnny Manziel, but Baker's always been undone by his own attitude. You know, it's one of those examples of...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. That confidence, that swagger, allowed him to succeed to a certain degree, but I think it's made him also stubborn and defiant. And in the face of obvious evidence, right now, he stinks. He really, really, really struggles and stinks. When we come back on the show, it is a Trash Tuesday, so let's start taking out the trash. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, and remember that the DA show is always available in podcast form. Miss any part of the show? Want to hear it again? Simply search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. You can get the best of the show or the full 4 hours. Trash Tuesday is here. Mraz, who are we trashing?
I'm trashing the lack of consistency with rain. I am very grateful that I didn't have many summer washouts this week on weekends of the summer, but it also led to a drought. It led to a lot of burning grass, and it's not good for the environment. And now here we are in the fall, and it feels like it hasn't stopped raining for 2 weeks, at least where we are here in the Northeast. Scattered good days, we were up in Warwick, but every time I look outside now, it's rain, rain, rain. Maybe it's because the NFL London series is starting, and we're trying to fit in with that.
Yeah.
I want to start a motion and a petition. I think that we should be able, depending on where you are in the country, to cast votes. We select one day a week it's going to rain. Wednesday work for everybody? Good. We got nothing going on. Online votes, and that's the day it's allowed to rain. There's got to be a way to figure out and shift the environment to allow that. It's gotten nonsensical now. I mean, it's not dumping rain for days, but then you don't get any over the summer. Once a week, let's pick a day. We all agree it rains good. We move on with our lives.
Okay, trash the rain.
That's just offensive.
I'm going to defer to Bogus here because Bogus is kind of our resident weather guy. Bogus, do you think we'll live long enough to be able to manipulate the weather?
I do not, unfortunately. I did ask somebody about that one time, and a person that does weather for his life, and he basically laughed
weather
in my
caster?
Face. No, an airport meteorologist. So he has all the degrees, but he works at the airport doing the weather planning for the planes, not on TV. He's got a face for air traffic control, if I'm being honest. And that's just not a thing. Like, there's a movie, I think, where they, like, fly above a storm and drop little, like, crystal, like, balls in, and then they disperse and break up the clouds. Those things are not on the horizon, unfortunately.
So that was a scene in one of my favorite Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
They go up into the clouds, they break it up with, like, a pocket of air crystals. Now, those Bugs Bunny cartoons were made in, like, the 40s and 50s, so this was scientific technology, I'm sure, back then, but... Mm. From a kid, I was like, oh, at some point in time, we'll be able to control the weather. And now I'm middle-aged, and I still don't see this happening. So
Yeah. You're
telling me that it's not going to on the horizon.
And there are guys and women whose job it is to fly, like, into these hurricanes, and they drop things in to get readings and figure things out. And they were showing video of flying over Ian's core last week. It's uncontrolled. Like, you couldn't feasibly you couldn't come up with a way to stop that thing from happening. Like, shy of building a dome over all land structures.
Wow.
You're not going to go. Start.
Retractable roof on sunny days.
On America.
No rainouts in baseball if the whole country's got a dome.
A retractable roof over Asia. There you go. Over Antarctica.
Right.
Over all these places.
You want to dome the East Coast and the Gulf Coast to prevent from hurricanes?
And we
maybe
keep the natural grass at Lambeau. DA would be real happy.
Yeah.
You know how long that would take?
Did you see how lush that grass was at Lambeau? Did you see how green that was?
Yeah. Won't look that way in December.
Yeah, but they make it a priority. And that's why Odell is right in that you could play on grass if you wanted to play on grass every place, but owners want to save money instead of investing like at Lambeau. That grass was so lush and green and beautiful. I like now get like hot flashes over great grass.
Boy, I think you need some time off.
Which, can somebody explain to me why the Rogers Center in Toronto still hasn't done this? I mean, every other retractable roof in baseball has natural grass, right?
No, Texas last night, they have turf, the new
Texas
one.
Texas went turf?
Yeah.
Okay, but most of the retractables do.
And I think Arizona gave up on real grass, too.
No.
Yeah, everybody's going turf.
Really, in baseball?
Yeah, we're getting more turf in baseball.
Mariners, Brewers? No, those are grass.
No, they might be grass, but I think he's right about Arizona. He's definitely right about Texas. And the Marlins is turf now, too, right?
Marlins went turf?
I'm fairly sure they are. I don't quote me on that.
That's pathetic. I mean, look, if you can grow grass in Milwaukee, you can grow grass anywhere.
Yes, you can. We're talking about actual grass, right?
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks and Rangers have artificial turf. Oh, it's a new fancy one, apparently.
Pathetic.
But they have it.
Pathetic.
At least it's not that carpet they had in the 80s where it's like a just no give and concrete.
That was just basically painted concrete.
Yeah, I'm always going to be team turf, but I'm so scared of fighting with DA about it that I don't.
I'm not in the mood to fight. I just don't understand why anybody wouldn't want natural grass. It's beautiful. It smells good. It gives you grass stains. It's softer. It's cushier.
I just feel like there's way more people that fall down on grass and slip and all that other stuff.
Versus blowing out your ACL on turf?
Again, the turf should be maintained better if you're going to do turf. That's my issue. The rubber pellets have to be changed out once a week and all of that stuff.
But you ever play on rubber pellets? I guess you do flag football
on
rubber pellets.
Yeah, I prefer playing on turf as opposed to grass.
See, I'm the opposite. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I'm going to follow up on the rain thing. I'm trashing drivers in the rain. So either you have two mediums. You can't have a happy medium. You have two sides. You have one side that's totally wacko drivers who go all over the place and cause problems.
Talk to Mraz about this.
Yeah, you have that, and then you have the drivers that drive 5 miles an hour in every lane, and they're driving safe, but they're driving too slow and it would cause an accident. Mm-hmm. So I dealt with both of those things this morning as well. And enough of it. Figure out how to drive in the rain. If you're unsafe, if you don't feel like it's safe to drive in the rain, don't drive in the rain. That's my advice there.
Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
You know, on this point, Mraz had a very dicey situation coming into work today. A guy was tailgating you right in the middle. We had a huge rainstorm this morning coming into work.
Flashing his brights nonstop, and everybody's trying to take it easy, 55, 60. There's speed restrictions everywhere, wind, rain, and he cut over to the left lane, and then there was a guy going too slow for him, and it was too late, and he swerved in front of me, drilled over an exit sign, and drilled a tree. And I'm okay saying that on the air because at least at the time, he was able to get out of his car bleeding, but he was alive.
You pulled over because you were so scared and shaken up to make sure the guy didn't die.
I mean, I couldn't believe what I had just seen. I mean, seeing somebody hit a tree was like, it was jarring.
Yeah.
And several of us pulled over. I called 911. Emergencies were on their way, and it was horrifying.
How about that for a Mraz morning? 3:30 in the morning, getting tailgated in the middle of a rainstorm, watching a guy wrap his car around the tree, getting out of the car, calling 911.
And remember, it was last summer I had my car flooded out when I hit that pothole and went down. I'm done with the rain drives. I can't do it anymore. I'm going to fret. When it rains, my wife drives. That's the end of it. I'm not doing it no more.
We had the big storm over here a few weeks ago that was flooding all the parkways around here.
Yeah.
Right. The buses were turned the other way.
You had that dicey day, too.
I can't do the rain drives anymore. I'm becoming an old man.
Well, we're going to have snow drives here soon.
Oh.
AB, who are you trashing?
Mine is indirectly rain-related as well.
Wow.
Now, who did Sean take a shot at last week? Volunteer fire?
Yeah, okay. They're only in it for the friends.
Right. I'm going to, with a lot more respect, take a shot at the garbage crew that goes up and down my block on Saturday mornings. This past Saturday, it was raining again here in New York, and they come by rolling at like 7 a.m. I hear them go past, feel bad for them. They're out there in the rain doing this. About 2 hours later, I get in my car to drive down to Delaware to do a Delaware Towson football game, and I go, I don't see my garbage can. There's the lid that I left on top so my can didn't get rained in all night long. I see the lid. I don't see the can. I look around. Every once in a while, it's, you know, they don't put it back standing up, so it's on its side. It'll roll a little bit, get blown down the block, but I don't see it anywhere. So I'm driving, I get in the car, I leave, I text my wife, I think our garbage can's gone. Can you see where it might have went at some point? Because the rain had stopped by this point. She gets on our doorbell cam, and she sees the garbage man dump the can in the back of the truck. He puts the can down in the street where the rain had created this river running down to the drain, the street drain. And he watches my garbage can sail down the block.
No way.
And just disappears. Now, the strength of the rain and this water, my garbage can had went down about 150 feet to the end of my block, made a right-hand turn, and went down a half block to where the drain was, and that's where my wife found it. But this guy put it down, watched it take off, and went the other way to get back with the truck and leave it. So get that guy out. Almost cost me a garbage can.
Wow.
It's the landfill. Overnights in El Paso.
He had no interest in saving your garbage.
Not even a little bit. And it's not whitewater rapids here. He could have taken 3 seconds to just go grab it and put it back up on the sidewalk, not in the street. We would have been fine.
He's not wrong. Garbage men are a little lazy, too.
You think they're up at all hours of the night? They're picking up your garbage. They're throwing it in the back of a garbage truck. They're hanging on to that side. I think they do a lot of work.
I know they're lazy based on the fact that that was my father-in-law's job for 30 years.
Well, that's not a great...
And I can tell you, I'm sure he lost plenty of cans.
I don't know if lazy is the right word.
But no, that's the representation I have of garbage men, I can tell you. If that's the representation.
Lazy is not the right word.
Right.
My dad did it for 25 years.
But they're easily influenced. My neighbor across the street, I think, gives them gold bricks at Christmas because I've mentioned this before. His garbage cans, his recycling bins go back up his driveway. They stack the garbage, the recycling bins in a pile, push them close to his house. Everybody else's, they just fling things back up near up your driveway.
Are you learning your lesson or what?
I thought I was being very, very generous.
You gotta give them a little something over on Christmas Eve.
I thought I gave them more than a taste. Apparently I didn't.
Well, how do people tip the garbage men though? They show up at 5:36 in the morning.
I wait by the door. That I know the Saturday before Christmas, they roll by and they even honk their horn to let you know they're there.
Oh,
and
I'm that's up, rude.
And I go
that's
out ridiculous. And I give them an envelope with money in it.
Wouldn't give them anything.
They honk their horn for tips?
My dad leaves them a bottle of rum.
See, mine only come on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's impossible to tip them.
Hey, you got to give them a taste. If you don't give them a taste, they're not going to take care of you.
Gary the mailman gets the taste. Garbage men, keep dumping the trash. What are you going to do, stop?
Maybe.
And by the way, they have some nerve asking for a tip. They have a machine that hooks into everybody's cans. We're not allowed to have separate cans and dump it. They don't even get out of the truck. They want a tip. Scratch.
And by your house, there's a lot of trash.
I also love the blue collar Sean saying, what are you going to do? Stop picking up my trash?
Oh.
Tip yourself.
So your father-in-law, the one that smokes weed.
Tommy Heaters.
Tommy Heaters in route to Yankee Stadium, hits on 20-year-old parking attendants.
She's 28. He's 60.
This guy,
did you get her birth certificate?
Dude with four teeth. He's the guy that used to be garbage man?
Big time in sanitation. His dad ran a sanitation company his whole life.
Oh.
Yeah.
His dad ran a sanitation company.
And then they sell it out.
So Tommy Heaters didn't have to work.
No, he worked, and he always talks about all the trash he used to bring home and toys for the kids from the garbage. Danielle, used to get some good stuff.
Danielle used to get toys from the garbage?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what, but he always used to talk about, like, the treasures he would find. Like, he would pick through everybody's trash. And now he's a DoorDash driver that picks through French fries on the way to order.
Poor Danielle. Your parents are still taking Christmas lists, and she was getting thrown away toys?
No, she got plenty of nice stuff, too. They made nice money, and she got nice stuff.
Danielle, I got you a Rainbow Bright. It's out of the box, but I'll tell you, it's in real good condition.
It's good to go, hon.
He used to say, you'd be surprised what people throw away, but... Yeah, I mean, come on. You want a tip? I've seen him work. No way.
Time to go get some gravy for our next
I'm trashing iPhone storage. I can't get a handle on this. I think we've trashed this before, but every day I get the, you can't take that photo, or you can't download that podcast, or you need to free up storage. So almost every day I'm in my storage, deleting podcasts, deleting videos, deleting pictures, deleting apps. And then, like, within the same day, somehow the apps expand. I had to offload my Instagram app. Have you guys had to do this? Because it stores.
The Instagram app is ridiculous.
TikTok, I couldn't even have on my phone anymore because it collects so much information that it was huge. It was enormous. So I've had to delete this, that, and the other thing. It's like the apps are too big. The files are too big. The iPhone's just doing something in the airspace. And I don't even know what it's collecting. And it's so annoying. Get them out.
We're eroding.
But it's a money grab because all they want you to do is continue to up and pay for more storage.
That's right.
They have the ability to give you the storage.
I got this from Google, too. You've taken up too much space out of your Gmail account. I'm like, I thought we could always have as many emails as I wanted. And now I got to delete emails to free up space in my Gmail?
They want you to pay for space.
And that's what it says.
But you're talking about something different. You're talking about the space on your phone, not cloud storage.
So, no, but you could pay for cloud storage.
Right, but that's not going to help your Instagram app on your phone. The next phone you get, you need more gigs on your phone for space.
And that's the thing. They want you to up and buy the next phone with more storage.
It's absolutely right. It's just one big racket out there. Now I sound like my dad, mismanaged. Mariana is trashing degenerate neighbors who let their rat dogs bleep in the grass around the playground and don't pick it up. Hashtag beat beat.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Incognito Man is trashing the Brewers, who went from first in the National League Central to not even in the wild card in less than 2 months after trading Josh Hader away. Trash him.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
This is an interesting DA show handle. Icky Undies. DA, I'm trashing myself. I was online shopping for a jersey when I came across an auction website. Got caught up in bidding on anything that looked cool. Figured I'd get outbid on most of it. I was really enjoying myself until they sent me a bill for over $2,000.
Overflowing landfill.
Hey. Steven in South Carolina is trashing his neighbor. You know, the one that goes all out on Halloween and Christmas, makes what I do look pointless. Makes my wife want to spend more money on decorations. Get them out.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Moist Pork asks, in no world is it okay to blow your schnoz and then look at the tissues. Are you not sure you got enough out? How socially off are you to not realize how gross this is? Hashtag disgusting stuff.
Illegal dumping.
I would fist fight Moist Pork over that tape. Fist fight him. Fist fight him. That is so wrong. I look at every tissue I have. And it's not to say I want to check out my snot and see how cute it is. You want to make sure there's no blood going on or anything funky.
Right,
anytime
brains.
I blow my nose, you want to make sure if there's like a little blood remnants, I could be on the verge of a bloody nose, especially during dry times. You look to make sure everything's there, and you close up the tissue, you move on.
Blood.
You're actually a weirdo if you don't look at the tissue.
And you'd fist fight over this.
Because you're going to call people out on making sure their body's okay? That's shaming.
And we know how particular you are to make sure your right? body's always
this
okay.
This is the one health check you do.
No, I do. Anytime I use a tissue or toilet paper, I give a little glance, make sure everything's looking all right. That's it. And you should be doing that. It's like your own checkup.
And not to get too gross, but what if you looked at your toilet paper and something didn't look right?
If there's like little bloody remnants, then I get some preparation H, and if that doesn't work, then I go see a doctor.
Does this happen?
I do blood checks. I call them blood tests in my house. If I have bloody stool or bloody snot, I got to check it out.
Everything else, though, is willy-nilly.
That's right.
It's just standard practice.
Get the arteries.
Yeah, sodium, calories, cholesterol.
I'm just saying,
rain.
If you guys have never had bloody noses or remnants of it, then fine. But you really should be checking your tissues when you sneeze into
blood.
So, I mean, I don't open the tissue and look, but, like, a tissue is kind of transparent. Like, if I blow my nose and there's, like, there's blood in it, I can see it right away. I don't need to inspect the tissue.
No. Look, there's signs. There's warning signs. If you keep checking the tissue, you get used to it.
Warning signs. You've ignored every other one of those. Remember that time?
So I'm supposed to do no checks because I ignore other ones?
Remember that time that you had heartburn? And so you ordered Chinese food?
I thought I was hungry. I didn't know the difference between agita or whatever
heart attack.
It is. Yeah.
And remember the time that you thought you were having a heart attack, so you ate a Pop-Tart?
His emergency Pop-Tart.
Was that the health check?
Yes, it was. I thought I was hungry, so I grabbed the Pop-Tarts to stop my hunger, but it turned out. What do you call that? It's not agita. It's not Ali-Ali oxen-free. What is it? The thing when you eat. Indigestion. Indigestion. That was it.
All those health checks.
I like that. We've got to the point where nobody helps him. We just let him talk it through and give us
it out.
Four different possibilities. Ali Ali oxen free. Sounds medical.
Just keep workshopping it. You'll get there.
What happened here?
More trash is coming up, but Bogues has our headlines.
And these ones sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app 24/7 because things happen 24/7.
Sure do.
Quotes at progressive.com. Only big scoring plays for the Niners last night. Deebo Samuel's 57-yard catch and run. A 52-yard pick six, and this.
Jimmy checking the play at the line of scrimmage here. Lone back Jeff Wilson Jr. Hittle comes forward. Toss sweep for Wilson. Cut back run. 20, 10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco!
Greg Papa, Niners Radio. That, the first of the three TDs. The pick six of Matthew Stafford capped off a 24-9 decision over the Rams. The Niner D sacked Stafford seven times while Jimmy G avoided major mistakes. Both these teams are now 2-2. Maybe you felt bad when we told you yesterday that Wisconsin fired football coach Paul Christ Don't worry about him. Christ is getting an $11 million buyout.
Nice.
That being said, there was $20 million left on his contract, so he negotiated down and gave back $9 million as he leaves Madison. We have already mentioned home number 703 for Albert Pujols. Aaron Judge, meanwhile, still on 61, just a single in four ABs in last night's 3-1 Yankee win in Texas. The Blue Jays clinched the top wild card spot with a 5-1 win in Baltimore. The Mariners losing in Detroit, or to Detroit, 4-3, but they keep a game and a half edge on Tampa Bay for the second wild card because the Rays lost their fourth in a row, 4-3 at Fenway. And now, why don't we get started?
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
This one feels perfect for a Trash Tuesday because I wish this was something that the body could trash. Trains in Surrey, England were delayed for about an hour yesterday morning because a swan had wandered onto the tracks.
Wow.
And it took that long for rescue crews to show up and catch the large bird. Now, Southwestern Railway tried to have fun with the story, posting a picture of the swan in some kind of harness as it was being removed. They made movie references about a swan on the tracks. But as you'd expect, most commuters did not think it was funny being late for work. And I can only imagine the things Pete would wish on a bird if it delayed his LIR train for an hour.
I was just talking to a guy over the weekend, and he lives near a pond that has swans. No, geese. No, swans? I forget. One of the two. And I said, you really got to drive slow around there. He goes, yeah, definitely. You don't want to hit one of those. I go, well, if you hit one of those, you have to bring that swan or that goose, I guess a swan, to the house, because those are owned by people, right? Those are not like in the wild. I mean, maybe this swan's different, but like swans don't live around us naturally. Like those, I think, have to be there from an owner.
You're saying they're pets?
I guess in some ways, I don't think we have natural swans, do we?
I mean, if I hit a swan, I keep trucking. I ain't going to nobody's front door.
How do you know whose house the swan belongs to?
Because it would be in a pond outside somebody's house. That's what he was saying. That it's like an in-ground pond that they built in front of their house.
Hmm.
So, like, if you built the pond or you had a pond in front of your house and those swans are in the pond, you hit a swan, it's not like hitting, like, a raccoon. You got to go, it's like hitting a dog.
You should then keep them inside a fence, then. That
agreed.
Shouldn't be on other drivers.
Security there.
Yeah, otherwise you're getting a swan.
Okay, but what... But what if you hit a dog? You got to bring the dog to the house.
Well, yeah. With all due respect, don't dare compare a swan to a cat or a dog.
It's a pet.
It's not a pet. It's a theatric bird that's there for show. You're not sitting there. It's not eating its kibbles and bits next to you while you have your pasta.
Okay, but you don't keep dogs in fences. So
yeah, I do. When I open my yard,
well,
nobody
okay,
can hit
but
them.
Not everybody. Like, if you hit a dog, you wouldn't be like, that should have been in a fence. I'm trucking. You would be like, oh, my God, I hit a dog. I got to... Ask the neighbors whose dog this is.
Okay, you show me the next time somebody's walking a swan with a leash around your neighborhood, and then I'll treat it the same.
So it has to be on a leash?
Do you think a swan would cuddle up with me and watch Rams Niners last night? It's not a pet.
Well, a cockatoo wouldn't either, but if you kill a cockatoo, you got to go tell the owner.
What are we, skeet shooting? How are you killing a cockatoo? This is a reach. I'm sorry.
Is the swan big enough, Sean, for you to be afraid of it carrying you away?
Yeah, okay. A couple of them.
up and away. There goes Perez.
What's going on here? Ooh.
Whose pets are these?
I just wanted to watch Rams Niners.
My dog wouldn't do this.
Hey, I can see the high school from here. Hey, there's no line at Wendy's. Guys, could you put me down? When we come back on the show, do we believe Tyreek Hill? DA, CBS Sports Radio. That's right. Happy Trash Tuesday. Listen to us on the free Odyssey app or the CBS Sports app. We appreciate you being with us here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. Back in the offseason, Tyreek Hill was almost traded to the New York Jets. However, the Dolphins jumped in and got the deal done. And Tyreek was asked ahead of this matchup, Jets and Dolphins coming up on Sunday, how close it was to happening. Tyreek said it was very close, but just those state taxes, man, I had to make a grown-up decision. So Tyreek says it was based on the money. For the record, state of Florida has no state income tax. State of New Jersey or New York certainly does. And on the number, about 10% maybe for those making more than $5 million a year. Tyreek going to make about $30 million a year this season. It's about $3 million in taxes he gets to keep. I'm sure that is part of the equation. But I also think that Tyreek Hill wanted to be on South Beach. He wanted to be in South Florida. He talked about in the offseason that being kind of his second home. I feel like Tyreek Hill didn't necessarily only go to Miami because of no income tax. That, I'm sure, helped. But it's sexy. It's glamorous. You know, a lot of athletes like South Beach. A lot of athletes like South Florida. No state income tax. That certainly helps. There's a lot of wealthy people that use Florida as a tax shelter, let's face it. But I also think that in terms of glamour, yeah, New York's New York, but I don't think you think glamour when you think New York Jets. When we come back here on the DA Show, we'll talk about Tua Tagovailoa's situation and what has changed since last Thursday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.